You're listening to episode 5 of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from boldturquoise.com and the Cultivating the Lovely morning show on Periscope. I really couldn't be more excited for the guest that I have to share with all of you guys today because she has become a good friend of mine over the last few months, and she is someone that all of you have been begging for me to get on the show. So I'm very pleased to announce that this episode is with the one and only Crystal Payne from MoneySavingMom.com. In this episode, Crystal gives us a real behind-the-scenes look at her heart behind so much of what she has been doing with her blog, as well as her books and other parts of her ministry, which was really fun to talk with her about. We talk a lot about her brand new book, Money Making Mom, as well as what she's got on the horizon and what she does to fill herself up so she can keep pouring out in all the amazing ways that she does. So I really hope that you will go grab a cup of tea or coffee, or maybe do the dishes while you listen to us chit-chat about life and motherhood and homeschooling and all of those fun things. So without further ado, enjoy the show. Okay, welcome, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so pumped about this interview.
I am so excited. I feel like this is the most anticipated interview I've had because we were supposed to do it 2 weeks ago and my daughter got sick, so we had to put it off. So I've been really looking forward to today.
You are so sweet, and oh my goodness, your podcast is amazing, and I'm not just saying that. I'm super hooked.
Oh, you are the sweetest thing ever. I just so appreciate that. And I'm so excited to have you on because I know that a lot of my listeners found me from you. So I know that they are very excited to be having you on. But in case there are a few people, if that's possible, who don't know who you are, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm trying to think where I should start. I could say my husband and I have been married for 12 and a half years. When we got married, we committed to stay out of debt while he went through law school. And that was this really audacious goal. Yeah. But we both felt like we were supposed to commit to this. And so we did this and we moved into this little basement apartment. And we were just on this beans and rice budget trying to make it work. And we were both working these different part-time jobs. And then I found out that I was pregnant with my daughter, which we were so excited about, but I was so sick by that point that had to quit working and just laid in bed trying to figure out what on earth are we going to do, because there was no way we could survive on my husband's part-time income and we really wanted to stay out of debt. So I had my laptop and I'm laying in bed and just researching everything I can about making money online. And this was 2005. And I discovered this thing called blogging, which very few people really knew about at the time. But I thought, okay, computers, writing, internet, I'm fascinated by these things. Let's just try it. And so I set up this little mommy blog, and for, you know, some strange reason, people started coming and reading this thing other than my mom. And it was like one of those, it was just awful. Like, it's in the vault of shame now, and you cannot see these massive run-on sentences, and just, it was just boring. And then I'm, you know, this young, just married, just pregnant, you know, in my 20s, early 20s, and think I know everything. And so I'm telling you, like, how you should dress and what you should believe and all these things. But that's really where I cut my teeth on blogging, and discovered then from there that I could monetize a blog, and started just trying a bunch of different things. And then fast forward 2 years and I'm pregnant with my second daughter, and my husband is unemployed. He's out of law school, but now he's unemployed. And we were in a really, really hard financial place. And I had been blogging a lot about frugal living and about saving money, and there was a lot of interest in that. And we really, really needed to find a way to be able to keep a roof over our heads because my husband was having a hard time finding a job. And so I started Money Saving Mom, and I really thought it was going to be this kind of side thing that I did. And within a few months, it had just blown up. And within a year, we were making a full-time income off of it. And it's been this beautiful journey that I could have never, ever dreamed or imagined. But looking back to see how we thought law school was going to be the, you know, kind of catapult my husband into, he wanted to do constitutional law, and he had all these big dreams of how we thought that God was going to use our family. And little did we know that law school was going to be the stepping stone to something much greater than we could have ever dreamed or imagined. So that's a little bit of the backstory behind Money Saving Mom. And for me personally, so we live in the Nashville, Tennessee area, and we moved here from Kansas last year. I'd lived in Kansas all my life, and we moved here. And my husband and I are both homeschool graduates, and we homeschool our kids, and we co-homeschool, which means that we kind of have split the subjects. I get the fun stuff, like the readouts and the geography and the history, and the hard stuff, the science and the language arts and the math, and he loves it, and I love it, and it works out really well. And so we have three kids now. Catherine is 10, Caitlin is 8, and Silas is 6.
That is awesome. I love that you guys split it and that just like works for your family. And you guys are another one of those couples, like when I had Misty Winkler on, her and her husband were both homeschooled. And it's like seeing all of you guys grown up and you're all so well adjusted. It just is so hopeful for my poor children.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the well-adjusted part. Someday, stop by our house. But I know when I was listening to the podcast about Misty, I was like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that Misty and her husband were homeschool graduates too. So I think it honestly makes homeschooling a lot easier because kind of growing up in the environment where homeschool, oh, so many of our friends were homeschooled. And so just going into it, like, I feel like a lot of moms have fear over, you know, how are my kids going to turn out? Or is this going to work out? Or am I going to be able to teach them how to read? And just growing up in an environment where that was very normal, then for us to do it, it hasn't felt like this really hard thing. It's just felt like this is just part of who we are, and this is what we do. And our kids have really, it's just fun to see them thrive. There are definitely hard days and definitely days when I'm like, I remember it was last year I told my mom, I think I was like, the homeschool honeymoon is over. But you know, it's kind of like that, those 5 years in and you're just like, this is hard work.
Yes.
But I'm really grateful for my husband's support. I know that there's no way that I could do what I'm doing online and writing and all that if he wasn't so committed and then loving helping and being a part of the homeschooling.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think also you guys don't have that that hurdle of those of us who've been in school of trying to adjust your expectations of what should be done in a homeschool. Like, you guys just don't even have that. I'm very envious. It's very nice.
We're a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, we just, it's sort of like, because I know growing up, there were, like, we built a house out in the country, and my dad was the general contractor. And during that time frame, then my grandma died unexpectedly, and my mom had a stillborn baby, and it was all, like, in this 2-year period. And we had to shelf school because it was kind of this real life school of walking through grief and heartache. And then also my parents were just so focused on building the house, and we were really involved in that. And so it wasn't like we didn't do some school, but it wasn't this real structured school for that time period. And I see how we learn so much life stuff through that, that I feel like, you know, there's some weeks where our homeschool looks very different than what it would look like if they were in a traditional school, and to just realize they're learning so much from life, and it's okay. So we're a lot more relaxed about it, I think.
Yeah, I think that that has been a big adjustment for us, like moving out to the country and everything is, wow, these life school opportunities are actually very valid, and my kids will have skills that maybe a lot of other kids wouldn't have just because this is the life that they're living. So it's important to keep in mind. But I digress. Now that we went on this homeschool tangent, I know that a lot of people have been asking me how in the world we met. So would you like to tell them how we met?
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, people are always asking me that, and that cracks me up because I'm like, well, I mean, online, you know, but yeah, that's like met on an online dating site or something.
Match.com, don't you know?
That's right. They have that for bloggers now, yes, too. Get a blogging friend. No, joking. So I was dabbling in the idea of starting with Periscope, and we were actually on a vacation in Arkansas, and I had some free time during that week, and I was watching all of Chalene Johnson's Periscopes and started crafting this plan and thinking, I think this might be something that I'd like to try. And so I made this plan of what I thought it was going to be like and decided to pitch it to my Makeover Your Mornings email newsletter, which is Makeover Your Mornings is a 14-day course that I launched in April and created an email newsletter based upon people who bought the course. And so it's kind of like this little core group of people who are kind of, I don't know, I just see them as a special group of people because they invested in this product that I released. And so I shared
things on there. We're special because we're a bunch of night owls who desperately needed help with our mornings. So we came to you.
Well, anyway, so I will oftentimes share things on this list that maybe I haven't told to the general public yet. And so I decided to ask on there if anyone was on Periscope, because I thought, you know, before I start a Periscope show, maybe I should see if my audience even knows what Periscope is. And so I asked on there, and honestly, I was surprised at how many people had heard of Periscope and were signed up. But I got this random email from this girl named Mackenzie, and she writes, and she's like, I have this morning show that I do. And so I was like, okay, it's another person just kind of telling me about their thing that they did, which is great. I love that. But usually, okay, a lot of the times when I'll check out these things, I'll just be like, oh, this person, like, I just, you know, they need some, oh, I don't want to sound like rude or something, but a lot of times it's like not really well done. And it's someone who's trying really hard, bless their heart, but they need to be a writer instead of a speaker or something like that. And so, but I just happened to check out Mackenzie's scope and I was like, oh my goodness, this girl is amazing. No. And I just fell in love with you from your first scope and ended up subscribing to your feed and just started paying attention to what you were doing. And I think that we exchanged some emails or something. I'm not really sure what all happened after that, because I just sort of became this uber fan. And so then my whole family knows, you are on first name basis, yes, with all my family now.
How about you?
So it was funny because I was saying something about Mackenzie the other day and I looked at my husband and I was like, you know who Mackenzie is, right? And he looks at me like, duh. So they all know exactly who you are and you're a part of our family. So
yeah, it's so funny. I know my kids have been getting down everybody's names too, especially yours. And my 6-year-old always says, if I just say, oh, Crystal, he's like, Crystal Payne. Like, yes, Crystal Payne. That's the one. It's so funny. But yeah, I think we just started emailing back and forth and I kept seeing like, what in the world? She keeps coming back to my show. Why is she paying any attention to what I'm doing? And then we just ended up becoming friends. So I guess that's the very uneventful backstory on how Crystal and I became friends.
Yeah. And I think it was also like you were so, I could tell that you had so much experience with scoping and I could tell that you were really doing a great job. And I not only did I just love you, but I felt like there was so much that I could learn from you. And I remember you sent me an email about 2 weeks or 3 weeks into my first few scopes, which were horrible, which I did not set up catch until a few weeks after being on scope, because I knew it was going to be bad. And you said something really sweetly, like, maybe you could move your camera up a little bit higher. It's a really gracious, sweet thing that it was like, oh my goodness, I so needed that help. So anyway, you've been a huge encouragement and inspiration to me as in so many areas, but especially in Periscope.
Well, I was glad to offer that advice, but it was so fun to like just to see how you've changed so much in your camera presence, because I did the Makeover Your Mornings course, and it was so great to be seeing you on video, really the first time I had seen that, but seeing where you've come from there now, it's just, I'm just like, look at her go. She's just all comfortable in front of the camera. She's doing an amazing job. So it's been really fun to see you kind of just like really come into your own on Periscope, I think.
Well, it's funny, like as an introvert, I thought that I would hate Periscope. And I remember when I first started hearing about it, I'm like, live video? Who would do live video? You have to be like an extra extrovert to consider that. And now I'm like, everybody should be on Periscope. It's the best thing ever.
Right? Yeah, it's just a totally different way of getting to know people. And yeah, I think that if it hadn't been for Periscope, we wouldn't have connected. I'm not even going to say we probably wouldn't have. We wouldn't have connected, because there's something about being able to see somebody and you can tell more quickly if they're genuine. And I just, there's something to this Periscope thing. I'm telling you what.
Best thing ever.
Yes. Okay, so you've had a really big new thing going on lately that I want to talk about, because I have been reading it. I'm only a little ways in, admittedly, but you have a new book. So will you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, so I released my third book on November 3rd, I think, which
yes,
was just...
It was on my calendar.
You're so sweet. And it's called Money Making Mom. And this book was really, it was a joy for me to write. I feel like it was such a labor of love for me just after 10 years of running my own business. It was the first time that I wrote a book that was very outside of what I'd done a lot of blogging and speaking on. I've blogged some on having your own business. I've spoken some on that, but mostly I will stick to really inspirational encouragement for women and money saving tips and ideas. So it was very fun to dig deep and write on a subject that I've been living out for the last 10 years, mm-hmm. but hadn't written a lot on. So that was good. But really my heart for this book was so many women, they don't have an income. They don't have a budgeting problem. They have an income problem. And mm-hmm. so many families, when I started money saving, come to me and they'd ask me questions and they'd say, this is where we're at and this is what we're doing. And I would look at the numbers and I would think, you know, it's not your budget. You are being extremely careful. You're being very frugal. You just aren't making enough money. And so I had the opportunity then to start helping women, giving them ideas of ways that they could earn more money, things they could do from home to start and earn a part-time income. And some of those things even turned into full-time incomes for these families. And it was just so fun and fulfilling for me to get to see women walking out their passions and sharing their gifts with the world, and it being a blessing to their family in the process, because it would allow them to stay at home or to not be working outside the home so much. And just to see the fulfillment that comes from that. So for me, that was really the heart behind this book. I do not believe that every woman needs to be a money-making mom. But I think that for those women and those families who are really struggling financially, if your budget is a great place and you're still struggling, I think it's something to seriously consider.
So is that what you think makes you the most like personally excited about this book for women, because it just has something different to offer than really any other book on the market?
I think that what makes me most excited about this book is that, one, it's me getting to share about things that I've not shared about a lot in the past, and realizing how passionate I am and how much I love marketing and helping people maximize the mileage of what they already have built, like if they've already built a platform or a blog. But I think secondly, what I'm so excited about with this book is just giving people a vision for something bigger than themselves, because I think so many women are stuck in survival mode. They're stuck just trying to make it through the day. They're stuck just trying to get to 8 p.m. or whenever your kids go to bed, and then you're exhausted, and you're not living out the gifts and the calling that God has on your life. And I'm not saying that needs to necessarily be making money. Some women have read this book and they've said, I've realized I'm not supposed to make money when I thought I was supposed to. I need to be pouring into my kids more. I need to start a ministry in my neighborhood or something. But because it's about more than just making money, it's about figuring out what your gifts and your passions and your skills and your experience is, mm-hmm. what all those things are, and then how do you walk that out? And so that would be the second thing that I'm most excited about. And the third thing, because I'm never at a loss for words or excitement, is the second half of the book is really giving people a mission to take the income that you have earned and go make an impact. And that is my greatest heartbeat for families and for women, is to see how you can make an impact and make a difference. And so I want to challenge people not just to increase your income, but to look for ways that you can increase your impact. Because we have found that living our lives with outstretched arms, there is so much blessing and fulfillment that comes from that.
Yeah, I think you're totally right on with that. And I'm really excited to get to that part of the book, because it's so my heart with this whole ministry that is happening with Cultivating the Lovely. But I hadn't really planned on talking about this in this scope. But now that it's kind of coming up, would you share a little bit about everything you guys have been doing, like in South Africa and the trip that you took down there?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to backtrack a little bit and talk about I'm thinking it's 2009. So I started Money Saving Mom in 2007. And in 2009, I think it was, I was just blogging on my blog. And one day I got this this email from AOL. Back in the day, AOL was kind of a big deal. And I got an email from AOL, and they said, "We've been doing focus groups all around the country of parents. And we asked them, what is the blog that you always go to?" And they said, every single parent, this is what they told me, I don't know, this is true, but they said every single parent to a T has told us Money Saving Mom. They're like, "We don't know what your blog is. We don't know anything about you, but apparently a lot of parents are reading your blog. And so we were wondering if you would be interested in being a contributing writer to our parent site." And they're like, "So what would you charge for that? And what do you think about that?" So I was like, okay, I don't know. I asked around and came up with this rate for this weekly post that I thought was crazy high. And I thought, they'll never go for this, but hey, you know, if they're offering it to me. And I said, the rate, and they said, "Okay, sure." And I was like, "Oh, now I gotta write this post." And so it was just 10 weekly deals that I posted, that was just, it went up on their parent site. Well, then they started featuring it on their homepage, the homepage of AOL. So every Monday, my post would get featured on their homepage. And so thousands of people would click over to my site, and they let me use my affiliate links. And it was this crazy whole shebang.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my goodness, such a God thing. But anyway, there is a point to this story that has something to do with your question. So one day, one of the vice presidents of one of the divisions of Simon & Schuster, which is one of the largest publishing houses in America, came across this post on the homepage of AOL, had never heard of my blog before, he said he spent a few hours on my blog, and then he sent me an email basically saying, we'd like to offer you a book deal. Now, if you know anything about the book deal world, that's not usually how it happens.
That doesn't happen.
And so I didn't have a proposal. I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a clue. And basically they had me just, I sent them this little paragraph. "I think I'd like to write a book on saving money." And I mean, it was so vague and so awful. But I sent that to them, and they offered me this book deal, which was this significant amount of money. And then I was like, oh no, like, I don't want money. What am I going to do with this money? And it was this weird thing of like, and then I'm going to have to sell it to my audience, and they're going to feel like weird about that. And it was just this whole weird angst that I had in my heart. And because we were making plenty of money off the blog, and my readers knew that, and they knew that I didn't need this extra thing. And so I was just really praying about that. And one day, I remember I'm washing dishes at the kitchen sink, and I just hear this voice of God just saying to me, "Take the book deal, but give all the money away." And so that started us on this just beautiful journey of seeing how God could use this platform that he had given me to make such a difference in other people's lives.
Wow.
And so we ended up funding a child survival fund in the Dominican Republic for 140 to 160 moms and babies who have food and shelter and maternity care and all sorts of different things are being taught, like marketable skills and all this amazing stuff, and being taught about Jesus because of my blog. And so we got to go and go see this. And I think it was in 2012, if I'm remembering correctly. And that was at this point where I was kind of feeling like, why am I doing this blog on coupons? Like, this is not very Jesus-y, and I should be talking about God and Jesus, and why am I telling you how to save money on Hamburger Helper or something? Not that that's all the deals are about, but, you know, it just felt so just kind of like temporal and earthly, and like I just really was wondering, why am I doing this, and is this really what God wants me to be doing? So we went there to the Dominican Republic, and we got to see this this center, and we got to meet these moms and babies, and it changed my life, because holding these babies and looking into these moms' eyes and realizing they are alive because of my blog, it gave me this fuel and like this fire in my belly that I said, I'm going to go back home and I am going to use this platform that God has given me. I'm going to do everything I can to be strategic and wise and smart and savvy, because the more that we save and the more that we make, the more we're able to give. Wow. And so that's really become our family's just heartbeat for everything that we do, is that we want to be able to make a difference. So we are continuing to support the Child Survival Fund through Compassion International in the Dominican Republic. And then last year I got connected with Lisa Jo Baker, who is South African and whose parents live in South Africa and have this amazing ministry there. And my husband and I just really felt this tug on our hearts that we were supposed to do something. We were supposed to do something, and we just didn't know exactly what it was. And so we ended up helping her with raising money for some like a playground and a vegetable garden, a community garden, and some other things, a water point, some other things that they needed there. She and I through our blogs. And then in January, she and I got to go and see them. And I just, my heart was just knit with these people there and what they were doing. And I was just so touched and impressed and inspired and impacted by it. And I came back home and I told my husband, I said, we're supposed to be really closely entwined with this ministry. And I just really feel like this is what God wants us to do. And so since then we've had the opportunity to really get to partner with them in some really amazing ways. And just a few weeks ago, got to take our kids and my husband to go to South Africa and just see what God's doing there. And it's just, I just can't even express in English language how amazing and how humbling it is that God would see fit to use someone like me who struggled in school, who would not, it would be like the least likely to succeed, and how God would use someone like me to be able to, you know, I see these literally hundreds of children, many of them who are in child-headed households, who through my blog there's just so much work that God is using my blog for to make such a difference. And so I share all that not to hold myself up at all, but to just say, you know, being faithful to give your loaves and your fishes and say, God, this is what I have. I don't have much, but this is what I have. And would you just take it? And I want to be a willing vessel for you, and take it and bless it. And God can do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think.
Well, that's so inspiring. Like, I'm almost in tears, and I'm not an emotional person, but that, I mean, what a motivation for you to bring back to your business, and what an inspiration to your kids. And I mean, I know that I hear it from moms all the time, and I've certainly been there, that you just feel like, yes, it's a noble calling to be home with your kids. And if that's all you feel like you're supposed to be doing, then that is great. That is what God wants for you. But I hear this yearning in so many moms to want to be pouring out in some other way as well. Like that, we'd keep our priorities straight, but we would be pouring out in some other way. And for you to say it wasn't Jesus-y enough and all that stuff, but to be making that kind of an impact, I mean, I just think that's an incredible message to be sharing with other moms. And that really kind of leads me into my next question is, you know, there are so many moms who are in the trenches of motherhood and they're using their gifts only in their homes. But where does that tipping point come where they can decide, okay, I should go beyond just using this with my family? Like, what do you think would be that tipping point for a mom?
Well, I think it starts with not seeing your kids and your home as like a just, you know, like, yes, I'm just a mom, or I'm a stay-at-home mom, or because I feel like there is no greater work. If you are a mom, if you have kids, there is nothing that is more important than glorifying God, pouring into your marriage, and pouring into your kids. That is your greatest work. But I think that intertwined with that greatest work, there can be other works that God can call you to that involve your family many times. I mean, for us, this has become a family endeavor. It started out as just me kind of doing this little thing on the side, and God has blown it up far beyond what we could have dreamed or imagined. My husband is now full-time in our business. We also have a rental company, or we have rental houses that he manages as well. But and so doing this full-time and bringing our kids with us to South Africa, our kids oftentimes are very involved in going to speaking engagements, being involved in meetings. Just this morning we had a meeting and all our kids are there, right there with us. You know, they just doing life with us. And so I think it doesn't have to be like an either or it doesn't have to be this mom does this thing on the side. I think it can be something that you do as a family. It's going to look different for every family. And so not feeling like this is the way that it's supposed to look. I think you also need to examine what season of life are you in right now and what is right in front of you. For me, that's the thing. It's been, I've not really gone out chasing things. I feel like God has just put it right in front of me. And so much of the time he's just giving me light for the next step. And you take that next step in obedience and trust him for all the steps to come. So oftentimes that will be that person that's right in your path that you, when you're at the grocery store or when you're at your mom's group or when you're at church or that email that you get, it's that next thing. And there are no little or big things in God's kingdom. And I think everything matters. And so what is God calling you to do today to make a difference? How can you use the gifts that he's given you today to make a difference, but at the same time that it's a blessing to your family and not a burden?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I love how you say, how you bring your kids alongside you. I love how when you you go on speaking engagements, you take them with you. Like, what an amazing way to use what you could think is like, oh, this is just me getting a break or whatever, but you bring them with you and you make the most of those opportunities. And those are the kinds of things that they will remember and that legacy that you will leave to them. That's so inspiring.
And I think it's provided a lot of opportunities for them to get to learn life lessons that they might not necessarily be so readily available. For instance, my oldest daughter, she's 10, and she's been in so many situations in the last few years where she is the only child. It's all adults, and it will be all adults for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. And how to shake hands confidently and look people in the eye and have conversations with adults and ask good questions and really engage in that. I don't know that she would necessarily be getting those opportunities if it weren't for what God has called our family to. Sure. And yes, there are definitely moments when it just feels like we're just a hot mess over here. Like, things are falling apart and I'm wondering what on earth were we thinking? And, you know, we should just shut it all down. But really, realizing that there's always the hard and the good together. And there are moments when it's really hard. And I think of one speaking engagement this past year where I brought one of my kids with me and they were really, really struggling. And it was hard because I felt this angst of like, I need to deal with my child and they're having a hard time. And yet there's this long line of people and all the people are expecting things of my child because they have expectations of my child when they've seen this child on Instagram and on my blog, and they want to meet my child, and my child's having a really bad attitude. And you know, I just thought, this is real life. This is real life. It's not like it always works out all beautifully, but I feel like that God can use our brokenness, and when we're a hot mess, God can use that, and we have to just totally rely upon Him and say, God, we don't have it all together, and I don't know what we're doing here, and can you just please take where we're falling short and where we're not making wise decisions, and can you fill in those holes for us and give us that wisdom, because we're just, you know, we just want to trust you and seek you for light for that next step and take it in obedience.
I love that. That is so good. So this is kind of switching gears a little bit, but so you're doing all this pouring out with your family and your business and all these different ways and all these different ministries, but how do you take the time to take care of yourself and fill yourself up so that you're able to pour out?
I've had to learn to be really, really intentional. And for a while, I feel like I almost felt like it was selfish to take time for me because shouldn't I just pour? But I tried that and ended up very burnt out. And when my third child was born, I was just trying to do everything and ended up almost like my health was in a really bad place. My marriage was in a really bad place. And my life was just really, really chaotic and messy and not healthy. And God really took me to this place of rock bottom where I just had to say, I can't do this anymore. I cannot just keep pouring and pouring and pouring without refueling my supply. And so my second book, Say Goodbye to Survival Mode, really came out of that hard rock bottom place. Mm-hmm. And really, God has just helped me to, I feel like, see the importance of I have to take time for me. I have to take time to refuel. I can't just expect that I'm going to constantly be able to serve and minister and give without taking time for me. And that's not selfish. That's being wise. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that I do, I think looking at my calendar and being intentional about, we try to have at least 2 days in the week that are really calm and that we don't plan things and that we're mostly just home. And if possible, that we're home all day long. And that has been something that's been really helpful to me, especially as an introvert, knowing that I need that quiet and I need that quiet in my calendar. So doing that and then being intentional about taking time to do things that I love. I love reading. I love knitting. I love adult coloring.
Yes.
I love watching good movies and taking the time for those things. That's also been really helpful to me. A lot of times on a Sunday afternoon, I will, if we're home, which usually it seems like 2 Sundays in a month, usually we are home in the afternoons with no plans. And I just leave everything be. Don't worry about the laundry or the dishes or whatever. And just read a fiction book. And I just check out and get lost in a good story. And so things like that, and not feeling like this is, I should be doing these other things, but just doing it and knowing that this is filling up myself by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Those are all really, really good suggestions. I love your idea of just like having those couple of days a week that you just know, like these are days set aside to be filling yourself up. That's really nice to have scheduled into your calendar. So you have that to look forward to. There was another podcast I was listening to. I think it was Hopeology. And they were saying like giving yourself those future gifts that you plan, like you have to look forward to, can keep you going when you're feeling kind of dry.
Yes. And I think the other thing for me is knowing I know my capacity. Mm-hmm. It's taken me a few years to really figure that out, but to know, for instance, if I'm going to be speaking or if I'm going to have some kind of back-to-back video interviews or something that I know is going to take a lot out of me, I intentionally plan at least one full day after that where I have nothing planned. And even if people say, hey, can we get together? Or, hey, do you have anything going on? I'm going to say, no, I already have plans because I've planned to be able to have that quiet. And so that's really helped me to know my capacity and then plan my calendar accordingly so that you don't just go, 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 and then all of a sudden you're so burned out that it's just impossible to try to like even figure out how to like function.
Yes, it's always so hard when you're trying to play catch up. That is a really smart idea. So can you give us a little glimpse of anything that might be coming with Money Saving Mom?
Yes. So we're in the middle of some really intense end of year meetings, intense in the thing of like, you know, just really looking at this past year and making some fairly significant changes in the sense of what our focus is. But my plan for 2016 is to be home a lot more. The last few years, I've been on the road a lot, and we felt like that was what God had called me to, and my husband was very much on board with that. But this, for 2016, we really feel like God's saying, okay, now this is your season where you're supposed to be home more. Mm-hmm. And so we're saying no to a lot of stuff in order to make that happen. And my goal is really to focus in on a few things. And that is, continuing on with Periscope, because I love that. I have plans to kind of do more with, a new site. We have some new things coming with that, and I'm really shifting my focus more towards helping women with living intentionally, and then doing more with helping women with practical ways that they can build businesses and kind of monetize the platform that they already have built if they're a blogger or something. So we have plans with that as far as products and email newsletter stuff and Periscope. So we will see what the future holds, but that's really how we feel like God is leading. So we're saying no and streamlining and kind of cutting out a lot of other stuff so that I can just focus on those few things and not overextend myself.
Well, that all sounds really smart, and it was a fun little glimpse to kind of hear what is coming. Okay, so we're nearing the end here of the interview, but I have a few questions that now that you've listened to the podcast, you've probably had a chance to prepare yourself for, but I just want to ask you a few questions and see what your stock answers are that everybody else has been answering as well. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so would you prefer candles or an essential oil diffuser?
Candles.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Oh my goodness, not cloth napkins.
I think we have yet to have somebody answer. They prefer the cloth napkins.
Okay. At least we're asked about cloth toilet paper.
Yeah, this is true. So true. You're not that crunchy. That question comes later. Okay, so city or country?
I grew up in the country. I spent so much time mowing lawns and gardening that I kind of like being in the city and not having all that yard work.
Yes, it is a big shift, that's for sure. Paper or digital?
Google Calendar and paper for my daily to-do list. Is that cheating?
No, that's actually, I've heard that combination from a few people now, and I totally think it's valid. I was more the paper girl, and now that things have been taking off, I've been having to kind of invest in the digital thing, so I don't think it's cheating at all. Okay, shopping. Do you prefer online or in-store? Or I suppose I should be adding for you the option of your husband shopping for you.
Or the option of no shopping.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, it would just be so nice if we didn't have to wear clothes and eat. That's kind of, you know, let's just go back to the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
I like to, oh my goodness. I like to have outfits put together that look nice, but I don't like to mess with the putting together of them, which involves the shopping and the like figuring out what goes together. I don't like doing that. So my husband does most of my shopping.
That's so funny. So you would say in store for your husband?
Yes. If I ever shop, which is very, very rare. I mean, I probably go into a store maybe 2 times a year, possibly. I mean, I do go to a grocery store sometimes, but like an actual clothing store, maybe 2 times a year. And so I do shop online sometimes, but I get some of my clothes off of Amazon, like, and I'm pretty much the total boring person of like, I know this brand and this size fits me, so we will just buy four of them.
Yes.
So
I have those.
Every color you have, I will take them.
Yes, so. I have those, and they all tend to match my mother. She has the same ones as well. It's really difficult when we show up in the same clothes places. Okay, so it's 4 o'clock, you're making dinner, and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
It depends. It depends upon what day it is. Sometimes I just need to listen to quiet.
Yes.
So I kind of, because I'm not an extrovert, so sometimes I've learned you have to put the earbuds in and listen to nothing.
Yeah.
But usually in the mornings, I usually choose music, and at night, I usually choose a podcast or quiet.
Okay. So chocolate, milk or dark?
Oh, dark. Always dark.
Solidarity. Okay. Sports or no sports?
That's a hard question because our Kansas City Royals were just in the World Series, so I was totally cheering them on. But
once I figured out what sport you were talking about,
I would typically be like that. So I am not a sports girl, but I succumb to being a sports girl when like a team that my son and husband are really into is doing something really amazing. Then to be like a part of their life, I can get into it.
Okay. That is valid. So Periscope, would you rather broadcast or watch?
Oh, goodness. I guess it depends on who I'm watching. Sometimes when you have those broadcasts where you're like, this is just like, I am rocking it. And then there's other people who are like, oh my goodness, like, what am I doing? And they're dropping like flies. And what am I saying wrong? Because I just lost 50 people. Yes. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if you ever have this, but sometimes when I'm scoping, I'm thinking, I just need to get off this thing as quickly as possible because it's becoming a train wreck.
Yes, so. It's usually when my children start descending and the circus becomes evident. It's like, oh no, they're dropping now. Okay, so what is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie? I don't even know. That's a good question. I grew up with no TV. So I'm just learning all of, like, in the last 12 years, my husband, who grew up with lots of movies, could not believe that I had not seen, like, some of the really basic ones. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think. We really liked which ones. We really like action movies that do not have like a lot of gore and nothing inappropriate. And that's really hard to find. Yeah. But there are a few. So, like, for instance, the Marvel movies, in America, we've really enjoyed those. So I guess I will go with that.
I like those ones too. They're pretty good. Okay. So last question, if you were to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum and one was like totally soggy, not crunchy at all, and 10 was singing Kumbaya by the campfire without your legs shaved, where would you fall?
I think I'm probably like a 5 because I definitely am somewhat crunchy, but compared to my really crunchy friends, I seem like I'm super not crunchy.
Okay.
I totally shave my legs every single day without fail. Big fan of that.
Yeah, so am I. Even like huge pregnant, I'm like, gotta shave the legs. Yeah, that's gotta happen.
I'm grouchy. Well, and my hair grows really fast, like hair all over me. Like my head of hair, people are always like, oh my goodness, your hair grows so fast. And so, yeah, I'm just like, I just have to shave every day. But that was more information than people needed to know. I blog about that one time because I don't remember why. So I guess it's already been out on the internet. But
and I'm right there with you. So we'll just both put it out there.
I like to bake from scratch, and most of our cleaners are going to be not homemade necessarily, but like Mrs. Myers, and so something that's not super, like, I'm try to be careful about chemicals, and we don't allow food coloring at our house and stuff, but I mean, we buy Cheerios, so I don't know what that says about us. So
I think you've probably just got a healthy balance, right? We're bringing crunchy to the masses. You don't have to be like too extreme on either side. You can have that middle ground.
That's right.
All right. Well, as we just sign off here, do you want to give people a final where they can find you?
Absolutely. So my blog is moneysavingmom.com, and I would love for you to check things out there. And if you're interested in the book, you can go to moneymakingmombook.com. And that is not only information about the book, but you can also sign up for my free 5-day course on how I make a full-time income from home. So if you're interested in how does she make money blogging and what crazy mistakes has she made along the way, that's at moneymakingmombook.com. And I think you'll be encouraged with that.
And you'll be especially encouraged if you scroll all the way to the bottom of the page and you watch the outtakes, because they are fabulous. You will have a whole new appreciation for Crystal.
Oh my goodness.
Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for doing this. I know so many people were so excited for you to be on the podcast. So thank you for carving out the time to do it.
Thank you. I am just so honored and just so excited about what God is doing through you, and so excited about your new podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, I will be talking to you soon. Wasn't that such a fun episode with Crystal Payne? I just had so much fun listening to it again and again as I was doing edits and getting to re-experience all those aha moments that Crystal was giving to all of us. And so if you weren't able to actually sit down and take notes on some of those things like I was able to, then you can hop over to boldturquoise.com/5. And that is where you can find all of our show notes with links to everything that she talked about. And as a very special goodie, just for my listeners, Crystal has offered a coupon code to her Make Over Your Mornings course. If you type in the code LOVELY at checkout, that's all capital letters, LOVELY, then you can get her course for just $10. I think it's the perfect time of year to be reevaluating how we're doing some things and getting a better handle on stuff. We're heading right into New Year's, so what better time to be getting her course and reevaluating how you handle your mornings to make the rest of your day go smoother? That coupon code will be good just until the 10th of December, so make sure that you run over there and get your course before it expires. And again, you'll be able to find all of that information on boldturquoise.com or on cultivatingthelovely.com is where you can just go straight away to be able to find all the notes from all of our different shows. I also wanted to give a quick thank you to all of you who've been leaving ratings and reviews in iTunes. I so appreciate that. It just helps get the word out to people who may not have heard of me or Bold Turquoise, and they're able to find the show straight through iTunes. So thank you so much for all of you who have been doing that. And if you haven't yet, it's super simple to go over to iTunes and just leave a really quick rating or review. So thank you so much for doing that in advance. That's going to be it for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week, ladies, go be bold and gracious.